helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel. It's another day, and there's more news about the aftermath of January 6th. The Supreme Court has given its opinion about the Colorado Supreme Court banning Trump from the ballot. An appeals court has overturned the sentence in a January 6th case, and a journalist is taken into custody for his January 6th reporting. I'm not sure if I should be yelling bingo, Yahtzee, or just screaming and running for the hills. Well, hello there, everyday Americans. Paul Engel here with the Constitution Study, where we read and study the Constitution, which teach the rising generation to be free. I'm glad you could join me today. This is an exciting, this is a busy day. We got the answer from the Supreme Court about, in this case, it's the Donald Trump Colorado case, but this is going to impact all of the questions about Donald Trump being on the 2024 ballot. I'm not going to go through the entire decision, but there are a few things in here I did read and I thought you might find interesting. First is, let's take a look. This was what's called a writ of certiorari. So this was the court saying, are we going to take this case? And the answer was, not only are we going to take it, we're going to decide it right here. Boom. Kind of the quick and easy. I guess it's the short form version of a Supreme Court case. And they go into some details about the case. But reading from it was a 9-0 decision. It was a unanimous decision. And reading from the decision, we find talking about those claiming that Trump should be removed, should not be on the ballot. Their theory turns on Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. Section 3 provides, no person shall be a senator or representative in Congress or elector of president or vice president or hold any office, civil or military, under the United States or under any state who, having previously taken an oath as a member of Congress or as an officer of the United States or as a member of any state legislature or as an executive or judicial officer of any state to support the Constitution of the United States, shall have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the same or giving aid or comfort to the enemies thereof, but Congress may by a vote of 2/3 of each house remove such disability. It's a bit long, but the idea was, remember, this is just after the Civil War, where many state officials, many people in Congress, many officers at the state level that had taken an oath to support the Constitution rebelled. They tried to secede to make their own country, and this was seen as an insurrection. Even that's a little questionable, but continuing with the decision of the court. According to the respondent, Section 3 applies to the former president because, after taking the presidential oath in 2017, he intentionally incited the breaching of the Capitol on January 6th in order to retain power. They claim that he is therefore not a qualified candidate, and that as a result, the Colorado Secretary of State may not place him on the primary ballot. Okay, a couple things in here that I want to point out because, again, details matter. So they claim that Donald Trump, as president, the fact that he had previously taken an oath, that he incited the breaching of the Capitol, that he actually said, go do this. Which is really interesting because all the evidence I've seen says he didn't do that. He said, I know you're going down to the Capitol to peacefully and patriotically protest. That doesn't sound like inciting an insurrection. He said again, peacefully and patriotically protest. Doesn't sound like an insurrection, but that's not the point of this. The other part. So they say that means he's not qualified for the primary. This is where life gets interesting. For me, as a constitutional scholar, because a primary is not, being a candidate for president is not on the list of people restricted under Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. You have to remember, a primary is a publicly funded election for a private organization. There's nothing in here that says that such a person is no longer is not qualified to be a political candidate. That's all primaries are dealing with. This isn't a question of whether or not he could be president. It's like, well, since he couldn't be a pol since he couldn't be president based on our twisted understanding, then he shouldn't even have a chance to be the candidate for the for our citizens who happen to be members of the GOP. So there's a another issue that I ran into. Now, the decision goes on. It says after a 5-day trial, the state district court found that former President Trump had engaged in insurrection. Again, how they came that I mean, that sounds more politics than anything else. But here's where life got in. Here's the next part that got in. This is the part that the actual case. See, the district court held that Section 3 did not apply because the presidency, which Section 3 does not mention by name, is not an office under the United States. Therefore, the president is not an officer of the United States, meaning he does isn't subject to Section 3. Now, they are correct that the office of president is not listed. They talk about electors for of president and vice president, but not the actual offices themselves. But the idea that the office of president is not a civil or military office under the United States is a bit of a stretch. Back to the opinion in December, the Colorado Supreme Court reversed in part and affirmed in part by a 4-3 vote, reversing the district court's operative holding. The majority concluded that for the purposes of Section 3, the presidency is an office under the United States, and the president is an officer of the United States. Skipping a little down a little farther, under the terms of the opinion of the Colorado Supreme Court, its ruling was automatically stayed pending this court's review. We granted former President Trump's petition for certiorari, which raised a single question. Did the Colorado Supreme Court err in ordering President Trump to be to excluded from the 2024 presidential primary ballot? Concluding that it did, we now reverse. So what was the reason for the reversal? What was wrong? What error did the Colorado Supreme Court make? Well, in reading this, it actually comes down to a question of Section 5 of that amendment. Again, reading from the opinion, the Constitution empowers Congress to prescribe how those determinations about whether or not someone's qualified should be made. And that he said the relevant provision comes in Section 5, which says a Congress shall have the power to enforce by appropriate legislation the provisions of this article. And those are the key words that the Supreme Court focused on. Congress shall have the power to enforce this. And that's actually a very interesting point because I've heard a lot of people say that this was not a an issue for the states, that it was Congress that had to enact legislation. But this is the first time I've seen somebody actually refer to Section 5. Now, the court went on to say this case raises the question whether the states, in addition to Congress, may also enforce Section 3. We conclude that states may disqualify persons holding or attempting to hold state office, but states have no power under the Constitution to enforce Section 3 with respect to federal offices, especially the presidency. Well, again, the 14th Amendment has nothing to do with state offices. That would be under the state constitution. But I want you, there is one thing in here, another thing in here that I got to take issue with. The opinion continues. In our federal system, the national government possesses only limited powers. The states and the people retain the remainder. Now, my problem here is they don't refer to the 10th Amendment. They actually refer to another case, which is the whole problem with our judicial system. But they go on, among those retained powers is the power of a state to order the process of its own governance. In particular, the state enjoys sovereign power to prescribe the qualifications of their own officers and the manner of their election, free from external influence, except so far as plainly provided by the Constitution of the United States. Such power over governance, however, does not extend to federal office holders and candidates, because federal officers owe their existence and function to the united voice of the whole, not of a portion of the people. Powers over their election and qualifications must be specifically delegated to rather than reserved by the states. And again, this is a court opinion. This is not based in the constitutional laws of the United States. Right? This is the problem with much of our judicial system. So when the court concludes, but nothing in the Constitution delegates to the states any power to enforce Section 3 against federal office holders and candidates. The problem is backwards. The 10th Amendment, if it's not delegated to the United States, it's or prohibited to the states. So the Constitution doesn't delegate powers to the states. The states created the Constitution. The point we look at here is, I think where the court is right saying Congress is given the authority to enforce the 14th Amendment. Because of that, is it restricted from the states? Not specifically, which means, is it retained by the states? Again, I tend to think so, but at least there's a logical, reasoned manner by saying, since Section 5 says this is to be enforced by federal law, then it becomes an issue of Congress, and I think that makes sense. There's a lot more in this that I could go after and attack, but the crux of the matter is Donald Trump will be allowed to be on the ballot in Colorado. By extension, by precedent, the recent was the Illinois Supreme Court that said he couldn't be on the ballot. Any other court decisions would be considered, no, we can't. We have precedent that says this is an issue decided by Congress, not by the states individually. I'm curious how it might impact the decision of the Maine Secretary of State when it comes to, because that wasn't a court case, that was a state disqualification. And again, the biggest problem is they're all done under the assumption that Donald Trump incited insurrection when no one's provided any evidence that he actually incited an insurrection. So there's a lot. This is a hot mess. So I just wanted to, it just came out. It's kind of hot off the presses, so to say. And I wanted to take a time to not simply talk about the outcome, but how did the court get here? Is the court's decision solid? Is it constitutional? And give us a chance to kind of think about this from that constitutional standpoint. So to wrap it up, Trump, the Colorado case has been overturned. Trump will be allowed to be on the ballot. The court did this based on the actual Section 5 of the 14th Amendment that says Congress can enforce this amendment via appropriate legislation. It said Congress can do it. Therefore, the assumption is, well, if Congress can do it, that means it's the states are not allowed because it's a power delegated to Congress to actually enforce this through legislation. I know a little convoluted, but we live in crazy times, right? We live in convoluted times. There's a lot of crazy things going on. And I don't want people to get discouraged. I was just talking to Malcolm a few minutes ago, and I about how crazy things are. And I do see people that are concerned about what's going on. That's why I want to bring out maybe some good news along with the bad news, but kind of put things in perspective. For example, there's a recent case, a January 6th case, where the defendant's sentence was overturned by a federal appeals court. We have a journalist taken into custody by the FBI, apparently for his reporting on January 6th. We've also got members of the House of Representatives releasing thousands of hours of footage revolving around after the arrest of said journalist. There's a lot going on. When the Chinese curse says, may you live in interesting times. Well, we certainly live in interesting times, but it's not something we should get discouraged of. It's something we should engage in. So I have these articles I want to get to. I have these news events I want to get to. But first, we got to take a break. Before I go, I want to remind you, please head to the website, constitutionstudy.com. I am looking for questions. I love answering people's questions. So if you have a question that's somewhat constitutionally based, just go to constitutionstudy.com, click the Ask a Question button, fill out the form, check the box. If you want me to answer it on the radio, there's a little check box that says answer on America Out Loud Talk Radio, and I'll be more than happy to do my best to answer your question as well as put it on the radio if you so wish. It's a great way for you to interact, not just with me and the Constitution Study, but with others, because you think maybe you have a dumb question. I'm pretty sure that whatever question you have, there are thousands of other people in this country that have the exact same question. So give me a chance to give you an answer and help improve our overall education about civics, the Constitution, and our way of life. Now, listen, I'm a busy man. I'm running around like crazy. I've got the radio program. I've got articles. I got interviews. And I don't know about you, but I get to the end of the day sometimes and I am flat out. I'm trying to, you know, finish up something and I can't concentrate. I keep getting distracted. And that's when I reach for Healthy Cells Focus and Recall. It helps boost my short-term memory and my long-term brain power, all with a simple set of vitamins. They come in a travel-ready gel pack, which means when I'm traveling, I keep them in my bag. You get to the end of the day, and I'm going to a conference later this week, and I know I get to the end of those days, and I'm going to be shutting down. I reach for one of these, I take it, and in a few minutes, voila, I can focus again. Now, since you are an America Out Loud listener, you can get 25% off your first order from Healthy Cell. You can find out how by going to americaoutloud.shop. Basically, you have to use the code OUTLOUD at checkout. But again, go to americaoutloud.shop for all the details. Go to Healthy Cell. Check out all their great products. Focus and Recall is just one of the many products we use here in the Engel household, and it's one that I think you will find useful. Give it a try. Put your order together. Use that code OUTLOUD at checkout. It lets them know that you listen to America Out Loud. And as a thank you, well, you get 25% off your first order. What more could you ask for?
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD for 25% off. Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. Risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code out loud.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Welcome back, everyday Americans, to rejoin the Constitution Study. Today, we're talking about more stuff from January 6th. It's the gift that just keeps on giving. Now, the first segment, I focused on the Supreme Court's opinion, their reversal of the Colorado Supreme Court's removal of Donald Trump from the primary ballot and probably from the rest of the ballots in Colorado. This also is going to impact the Illinois case, the Illinois Supreme Court. just found that Donald Trump was disqualified from the ballot. It's going to impact. We have questions about, is it going to impact the main Secretary of State's decision? Interesting stuff. But wait, there's more. Yes, I'm starting to sound like an infomercial. We've heard a lot about the people who have been raided by the FBI, taken into custody. Several of them have reported absolutely horrendous conditions in DC jail, awaiting trial, delay of their right to a speedy trial. But I have a little good news. See, that recently the District of Columbia's Court of Appeals has, they've overturned the sentence of a gentleman by the name of Larry Brock. Now, Larry Brock was convicted under Title 18 of the United States Code, Section 1512C2, in that he disrupted an official act. In fact, the law states that anyone who corruptly obstructs, influences, or impedes an official proceeding or attempts to do so. That's what he was convicted under. The court then went on and added a sentencing enhancement. Basically, under the United States sentencing guidelines, if a specific offense results in a substantial interference in the administration of justice, the sentencing level is increased by 3 levels. I know that's important because there's a couple interesting aspects to this. For example, the Section 1512C2 count was because they claimed he corruptly obstructed Congress's certification of the electoral count. There's just one problem. Congress doesn't certify the electoral count. I know a lot of people say they do. It doesn't. Read Article 2. Read the 12th Amendment. Congress is there so that if there is they're there to observe. And if someone does not get a majority for president or vice president, they can immediately, the different houses can immediately go into session in order to choose a president or vice president. In the case of the president, the House of Representatives immediately goes into session to choose a president. If it's a vice president who doesn't get a majority, the Senate immediately goes into session to choose a vice president. That's why they're there. They have nothing to do with the actual counting of the electors. So there's problem number one. He was charged with a crime for doing something that doesn't actually happen. Okay. But let's talk about this sentencing enhancement, right? This idea that his sentence gets enhanced by 3 levels because he impeded justice, right? What they're saying is he interfered with the administration of justice. Now I'm trying to figure out how that works, right? You're talking about even taking the court's assertion that Congress was certifying the election, how is that impeding justice? Now the circuit court, the appeals court, said that because the law and the record in this case foreclosed Brock's legal and sufficiency challenges, meaning that he didn't actually violate that law. He said, we affirm Brock's Section 1512C2 conviction. As for Brock's sentence, we hold that the administration of justice enhancement does not apply to interference with the legislative process of certifying the electoral votes. So they said, listen, you interfered with you interfered with an official duty, but you didn't actually interfere with justice. So you're convicted of the crime, but you got to get a better sentence. His sentence will go down. Now, why is this important? Well, many of the January 6th defendants have this sentencing enhancement attached to their cases. So instead of spending, if they've committed a crime, instead of spending, maybe months, maybe a couple of years in jail, they look at possibly 20 years or more in jail because of this elevation of justice, impeding the administration or interfering with the administration of justice. If this appeals court opinion stands, right? In other words, will it go to the Supreme Court? If we follow this, then many of those people may be looking at much lighter sentences because, let's face it, they did not impede the administration of justice. No one was being tried at that time. There was no case involved. It was a it was a disruption of the process, but that's all. You know, that was done by a smaller number of people, and there's a lot of other things going on there. But at least Mr. Brock will have a chance to get a new sentencing hearing, which should be a lot lower than what he's already received. I would think this would be a good news for Mr. Brock, although not as good as he would like. But again, with all the craziness going on with generation, again, I don't know the specifics of what Mr. Brock did and did not do. That's one of the problems I've seen lately is a lot of people getting glommed together that did or didn't do certain things. For example, if you showed up at the Capitol to demonstrate, that's not only legal, that's protected by the Constitution as long as you do it peacefully. The peaceful who broke the peace, right? Those who knocked over the barriers and entered the Capitol forcefully, they broke the law. Those for whom the Capitol Police opened the door and said, come on in, doesn't seem that they broke the law to me. And then we've got this, you know, oh, by the way, you disrupted Congress. How dare you disrupt Congress? Let's see how bad we can make this. Again, has been spread. We have the, was it four S's, the security code, the list that people are on. If you fly now, you get a special security code if you're in the Capitol during that time. If you flew into the Capitol area January 5th, 6th, and 7th of 2001, well, you're being tracked by the air marshals. That you've got a special flag. So we see a lot of this overreaction, over incarceration, overcharging, and over sentencing. And we're starting to see at least one case maybe where that backed off. And I'm hoping this spreads. I'm hoping this kind of tamps down some of this. I'm not expecting he's going to do it everywhere. Just like, you know, there was not one monolithic group of people at the mall or at the Capitol on January 6th. There's not one monolithic group of people that are charging them, but we're seeing, hopefully we're seeing a little bit of light at the end of this tunnel, but we'll have to wait and see. We'll have to see what type of sentence Mr. Brock gets, and we'll have to see what happens to other people that were at the Capitol. I've talked before about a journalist, a gentleman who works for the Blaze, who had to voluntarily turn himself in to the FBI. He's being charged with crimes revolving around January 6th. The gentleman's name is Steve Baker. There's actually video of him being taken in handcuffs, I believe, I think it's from the FBI to the courthouse. I'm not entirely sure. But he's being arrested again. He's being charged with four misdemeanors. This is why he had to turn himself into the FBI. I don't know why they just had to go to the courthouse, but I'm not sure. Maybe they wanted the video of him being perp walked into the courthouse. But again, four misdemeanor charges: disorderly and disruptive conduct in a restricted building or grounds, disorderly conduct in a Capitol building, parading, demonstrating, or picketing in a Capitol building. So. Actually, was that four, right? Disorderly conduct, disruptive conduct, disorderly conduct in the Capitol, parading, parading, demonstrating, or picketing, four charges. Now, part of the interest here is they would not tell him what he was being charged with until he turned himself in. That, you know, the warrant had been sealed and it wouldn't be unsealed until he turned himself in. They wouldn't even tell his attorneys, which I find a little interesting. Maybe it's a legal twist that I'm unaware of. But now we find out the details of this. He said, Mr. Baker actually commented saying, they didn't have to go this route. We have been told that my charges are only misdemeanors, and my attorneys have been assured that this will be an in-and-out affair with no intention to detain me. But rather than issuing a simple order to appear, they went the arrest warrant route. Again, rather interesting to me. Is this another example of possible, you know, over conviction or We don't know. What I do know is Mr. Baker's become, well, somewhat well-known for his reporting on the events of January 6th. He has hours of footage of what happened that he's analyzed and reported on. Apparently, he's uncovered some, we'll call them inconsistencies with some of the testimony that have been given. Apparently, he's made some people not too happy with him. So I'm curious, how long will Mr. Baker remain in FBI custody in what's supposed to be apparently a non-custodial event? In other words, he's just supposed to be in and out. Then why issue an arrest warrant? You know, it makes me wonder, as I look at this, have we changed to a what I call a pasta cooking version of justice? By that, I mean, you just throw whatever you can against the wall and see what sticks. That, to me, that's a dangerous situation, because that means a lot of people have to spend a lot of time and money dealing with things that aren't really true because they don't stick, but there's still a cost to that. Not simply being convicted, but think about it. The time and effort that goes into, not to mention money that goes into a defense. You know, you have Mr. Baker has been dealing with this arrest warrant over his head for months now. He's dealt with the investigation. You have the actual putting together of a defense, time away from family, time away from work, time away from whatever, you know, from your own liberty, on the hopes that something will stick. That's not justice. That's not due process. That's the opposite of due process. But it seems to be the way so much of our so-called justice system is working lately. So I'm part of me is glad to see this coming out. Part of me is glad to see a little bit of good news. Part of me is still concerned because there's an underlying system that truly, I don't say worries me. Because once we see a bureaucracy get away with this type of unjust behavior, why should we think they're going to stop? If they can take into custody, they can charge somebody with a misdemeanor, but require them to issue an arrest warrant rather than a simple, you know, order to appear. And think about it. Let me ask you this. I'm pretty sure Mr. Baker is a legal resident, if not a U.S. citizen. Now, if a U.S. citizen is accused of a crime and gets an arrest warrant, what about the millions of aliens that have come here illegally, are accused of committing a crime, but instead are given, Gordon show up, they'll call this number, make an schedule here, whatever. Basically released on their own recognizance and say, hey, show up at court. We'll give you a court date eventually. It truly shows an imbalance of justice, a lack of justice, a failure to be treated equally under the law. And that should concern all of us. I mean, let's face it, we have an election coming up. And in this election, as a republic, we, the people, are going to choose people to exercise our sovereign power in our name, to represent us in this government. I have to ask you, what type of person are you looking to represent you? A person that believes that rights don't need to be protected if it's for a political opponent? That say it's perfectly fine to incarcerate people if they demonstrate against our government? We've had that before. Remember the Alien and Sedition Acts that John Adams signed to make it a crime to disparage government in print. Then, of course, we had the internment camps for the Japanese, and that wasn't for what they said. That was simply for being Japanese, of Japanese descent. are we going down the same road where if you are a political enemy, you can be vilified, you can be charged with crimes that aren't crimes, you can be incarcerated. And any demonstration, any protest, anything that challenges what the government wants to do is considered insurrection and must be punished at the strongest means possible. That's a dangerous place to be. And the question really becomes in this election is, you see it. Are you going to allow it to continue? Are you going to redress your grievance with the government? Say, no, this is not the way we do things. We do not charge people and then look for a crime. We don't punish people because we don't like what they did. We don't enhance their punishment because they dare to question the government. We, the people, are sovereign. And we must remain brave enough to stand up for that if we are to remain the land of the free. We will not be the home of the brave, the land of the free, unless we are the home of the brave. Now, I want to talk about some other things, but first, I have to take a break. And I want to remind you that AmericaOutloud.news is a great place to go every day for news and information. I do as well. I get the feeds from them every day. But that knowledge is not power yet. See, they say knowledge is power, but not until it's put into action, which is why I'm going to ask you to do your part, to go out and find the stories and articles that mean something to you. Find the videos and the podcasts that are that move you, that get your attention, and share them. Share the link, share the story, share it all. It is the act of sharing this that not only takes the knowledge and turns it into power, but that power will help secure the blessings of liberty for all of us.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Spike proteins help viruses enter into your cells, disrupting your health and your well-being. Global Healing's Foreign Protein Cleanse detoxes your body of spike proteins, which allows your body to repair from within, supporting your immune and respiratory systems, and regulating your inflammatory response. Formulated by Dr. Edward Group and by Dr. Brian Artis, Foreign Protein Cleanse targets and detoxes spike proteins in the body. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
Welcome back, everybody, in America. You've rejoined the Constitution study. And today, we're still dealing with January 6th. I don't know if we'll ever be done with this. I was talking before about the journalist, Stephen Baker, who was taken into FBI custody to serve an arrest warrant for four misdemeanors, which seems rather excessive. And this act seems to have created a bit of a backlash, or at least among the political class. Representative Barry Loudermilk, who is the chairman of the House a subcommittee on oversight, and Speaker Johnson have released, they're releasing several thousand hours of CCTV footage from the January 6, 2021 protests. Now, this happens to coincide with Mr. Baker's surrendering to the police in Dallas over his January 6th reporting, which, well, again, sounds rather interesting. In other words, are these gentlemen taking political advantage of the arrest of a journalist to help propel this, or is this an attempt by the representatives to help show the other side of the story for Mr. Baker? We don't know. There are a couple things. One of them, both congressmen said this is just a tiny bit of the stuff they have coming. They've got a flood of footage that they want to be releasing over the coming weeks and months. Which also brings up a political question. In other words, is the idea to keep this in the minds of voters as we approach the upcoming election? Probably. And we're dealing with politicians. To think that politics doesn't have something to do with what's going on would be, we'll say, somewhat foolish. Now, Speaker Johnson has said the faces in the footage will not be blurred. Well, that's kind of interesting, right? Because they're not trying to hide people's privacy, right? They want to get to the, getting this work completed as responsibly as possible. And that includes showing the faces of the people and what they were doing. Now, the reporting I've seen, this may have to deal with the alleged pipe bombs found at the DNC headquarters. Because one of the things apparently Mr. Baker's been working on is, let's say some less than flattering footage, some irregularities that Capitol Police Officer Harry Dunn may have participated in, talking about the pipe bomb and other things with January 6th, and specifically some of the actions of some of the Capitol Police now bring into question some of what's been said and some of what's been reported, maybe some of even the testimony that's been given. Now, the videos apparently have been uploaded to the House Subcommittee's Rumble page, so that it's available for you to go watch and view for yourself. So I've placed a link in the show page. When the podcast episode releases, it goes to the website, so you can follow that and maybe go through yourself. Maybe you'll find information that others of us would find interesting. Who knows? This idea of distributing access to information, distributing journalism, I think is important if we're going to remain free. So, again, there's a lot here going around with January 6th that I want us to keep an eye on. Be open to these ideas. Investigate, double check the information, and then always remember who you're listening to, right? Mr. Johnson, I don't believe that, I should say, Mr. Johnson and Mr. Loudermilk, I believe there's politics behind some of what they're doing. Absolutely. I don't believe they're doing it just, you know, to be as pure as the wind-driven snow. I don't have any evidence of anything they're actually doing that's wrong. But again, we're dealing with politicians, so that's kind of like my automatic assumption is that there's some politics behind it. But if we can look at the raw data, if we can look at that video footage and see what's going on and report what's going on, then I think we have a better chance of finding out the truth of what's been going on. And then maybe use that to inform our decisions into the future. Because understanding that there is a truth, and understanding how to get to that truth and how important that truth is, well, not only is it extremely important to living free, but apparently it's being lost on certain segments of our society. For example, listen to this. This is a clip from MSNBC where Politico personality, I guess, Heidi Prisbala, I think that's how it's pronounced. I don't mean to disrespect her or get it wrong. She was on with a group of others, and she started talking about Christian nationalists. Now, understand, people start using names when they don't actually have arguments. So as soon as we start saying people calling others names, I'm already wondering, you know, all right, where are you, you know, why is that your only argument is to call people names? But listen to her position on what she refers to as Christian nationalism.
And the one thing that unites all of them, because there's many different groups orbiting Trump, but the thing that unites them as Christian nationalists, not Christians, by the way, because Christian nationalist is very different.
How? I mean, I'm sorry, you're making a statement without any proof, any evidence. You're just saying, oh, they're Christian nationalists and they're different from Christians. How? What makes a Christian nationalist, and what makes a Christian nationalist no longer a nationalist, but only a Christian?
Mm-hmm. Is that they believe that our rights as Americans, as all human beings, don't come from any earthly authority. They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. They come from God.
What a shocking revelation. There are people that believe their rights come from God, that they don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. You mean people like our founding fathers, the people who declared independence from Great Britain, who said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with unalienable rights. The idea that our rights don't come from people, they don't come from government, has been a part of this country since before the United States existed, back when it was lowercase u, United States. But to her, this seems strange. This seems odd. What do you mean that your rights come from God? They don't come from Congress. They don't come from the Supreme Court. But there's a little bit more, and I want you to listen closely to this, and I'll talk about it afterwards.
The problem with that is that they are determining men, mm-hmm. it is
yeah,
men,
yeah.
are determining what God is telling them.
Did you catch it? She's upset that there are people out there that actually believe that rights come from God and that they have the temerity to say, well, yeah, this is what those rights are. But she has no problem with, she's upset that man is saying what rights are if they're done through God, but she has no problem with saying man can tell you what your rights are if it comes from Congress or if it comes from the Supreme Court. Now, again, part of this is, in my mind, this is simply a political hatchet job, right? Let's take our opponents and vilify them. Oh my God, you believe that rights come from God? Well, you must be a Christian nationalist. That makes you dangerous. We can't let you have any say in what's going on. You're a Christian. How dare you believe your rights come from God? How could you have any say in our laws? You shouldn't be allowed to speak because you have these crazy ideas that our rights come from God and that our political masters. It's just another example of you name somebody to isolate them. You name a group to isolate them. Even though her statement is patently ridiculous, that, you know, if man, in her mind, if man is determining what your rights are, whether it be from Congress, from the Supreme Court, or from people who actually say these actually came from God, and this is what God has said, either in his word or in his actions, if you believe that it's only man talking, what does it matter which man? Oh, wait, politics. See, the thing about collectivists is politics becomes, in many cases, their religion. Here we are. How dare you have a God bigger than government? I don't know this lady. I probably wouldn't even recognize her if I bumped into her in a line, but basically we're saying, how dare you believe in anything more powerful than government? Which helps explain why the people who are collectivists, who believe in an almighty, all-powerful government, were so upset that someone would dare challenge what was said by an almighty, all-powerful government. But that's a fundamental precept of the American experiment, is that there is somebody above government that they will one day be accountable to. That our rights don't come from Congress or the Constitution or the Bill of Rights or Supreme Court. They come from our Creator. There are certain unalienable rights that we get before government existed. These are unalienable. They cannot be taken away. They can be infringed. They can be suppressed, but they cannot be taken away. And that includes your right to life, your right to liberty, and the right to pursue happiness. But apparently, to some groups, you know what? That's just a bridge too far. We can't actually allow you to impact our blessed, beloved government if you believe that rights come from somebody other than government. Which, again, I think help explains the insanity around January 6th. This idea that somebody could challenge what government was doing must be insurrection. But what's interesting is, and again, I rarely hear this discussed, I rarely hear this talked about, but there's a point made in the third section of the 14th Amendment that I think we've forgotten. So he talks about someone who's taken an oath to support the Constitution shall have engaged in resurrection of a rebellion against the same. See, it's not a rebellion or an insurrection against the government. It's an insurrection or rebellion against the Constitution. That is what the 14th Amendment prohibits. That is what, you know, when you talk about the January 6th being an insurrection. One, it wasn't an insurrection. It was a protest. But it wasn't a protest against the Constitution. It was a protest against how an election was handled. It was a questioning of the validity of an election. And if you can't question the validity of an election, then the United States is not a republic anymore. We are not the land of the free. And we should stop pretending we are. No, we need to be better than that. And we're not going to get that from the politicians. We're not going to get it from the media. We're not going to get it from special interest groups. We, the people, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. We do. We need to do better. I know you look at D.C. and it's like, how am I supposed to do better against all? You look at what happened on January 6th and all the pressure being put on people, the FBI, the DOJ, the ATF, the courts, the district judges, the judges in the District of Columbia, the jails. You see all that. What can I do? You can make your town better. I know it sounds counterintuitive. But by making your town better, by making the Constitution sound in your county, you become a bulwark against these types of attacks. By having a sheriff that will protect your rights even when the feds show up. By having a district, a county court that will protect your rights. You're building a bulwark against the insanity. If we wish to avoid another January 6th, and I don't just mean the demonstrations, I don't have a problem with the demonstrations, but if we're going to avoid the aftermath of another January 6th, we have to recognize that we the people are the sovereign in this country. We the people are the one that established the Constitution and the governments of our states and of the United States. That's we the people that ultimately make the decisions. We need to take responsibility for that. Now, that in many cases may involve dealing with D.C., working against the corruption in the federal government. I'm not saying we shouldn't, but I'm saying that should not be done at the cost of not protecting our homes. Protect our home fronts so that we have the safety and security of our homes so that we can go out and protect the rest of the nation. I believe January 6th was not a blemish on this country. I believe what led to January 6th was, and I believe the aftermath of January 6th has been and continues to be. But for the most part, and I believe the violent entering of the Capitol was a blemish on this country. But the purpose of January 6th, the recognition of the corruption in the election system and the abuse of that, that's the highest ideals of the United States, and that should be treated as such. And the fact that there are people who apparently see their political outcome more important than justice, well, they're the very same people we need to keep away from power, and only we the people can do that. Now, if you like this stuff, I hope you'll come back and join us for the Constitution Study every weekday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time on America Out Loud Talk Radio, heard on the iHeartRadio Network. You can also listen on podcasts. The episodes go to podcasts generally a day or two after they're heard on the radio. You can listen in your favorite podcast app, but please do me a favor. Subscribe to the show. Leave the episodes ratings and reviews, especially on Apple. It helps other people find the Constitution Study as well. You can find all the links you need at the homepage at AmericaOutLoud.news. But just as with the articles there, it's important that you share them, that you do your part, that you take this knowledge and you put it into action. Take those episodes, take the podcast feed, share it with friends, share it with family, share it with online. See this not as simply something to do because I ask you. See it as participating, because as you share this information, you share the news about your own sovereignty, you also share the blessings of liberty.